everybody, and welking to a great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zellinger. Got a good game to go over with you folks. LSU came out on top with a win at Tiger Stadium. Frank Wilson's first as head coach. Tigers eke by 23-21 over the Razorbacks and secure the golden boot for, I think, the 10th time out of the last 11 years. We got that. We got some other games to go over, which are kind of starting to shape the football playoffs. And I don't know, I wish we had some news for you on a coaching search, but don't really. Just kind of got some, you know, more information trickling out about Brian Kelly's departure. But before we get into all that, want to see how you guys are doing. Hope you had a good week. Happy to chat it up with you again, and it's always better with a win, right?
Yeah, no, good to be with you. Good to be talking about a win. Like you said, LSU improves to, what, 6-4? Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. So, you know, not what we thought where we thought we'd be at this point, but it's a win, and it's in the SEC, a win in the SEC. So, you know, there's something to I guess, take home.
Yeah, at least we secured the win, secured the 6-6 season, and hopefully 7-5 if we can beat Western Kentucky this week. But a win is a win, even if it is over a 2-win Arkansas team. They played better, I guess, with Michael Van Buren as the quarterback, which we'll get into. Nussmeier in the sweatpants on the sideline with more injury issues. But at least it does feel nice to end the 3-game losing streak. That was our first win in over one calendar month, which is kind of crazy for LSU. So season winding up here last 2 weeks, and then we got the playoffs, which LSU doesn't look to be a part of. But we'll get to discuss who's in, who's out here over the last few weeks as things shake up. So always exciting in college football, and we can get into how the Tigers performed this week.
Definitely is always exciting. There were some more upsets this week. The Tigers didn't upset. I think they overachieved by what the defense was able to do, because I didn't even realize this, but Arkansas had like the top offense in the country, despite their record. But if you look at the games, like they lost them all by like 6 points or less. So they
lost like three games by 2 points, I think, two or three points.
Yeah, like, and one to us. And this actually, like I said, this was Frank Wilson's first win as a head coach, at least in Tiger Stadium with the Tigers. And I don't know, I felt like it was a good win for the team to, you know, kind of get them back on track. Fan base too, I think he had it was just a beautiful moment, because they were talking to him after the game, and the reporter asked him, you know, what does this mean to you, you know, your first win as coach in Tiger Stadium? And he just sat there for a second, looked up and around, and just said everything, right? Like that's awesome. It's like, if anyone, I don't know, if they were going to promote within, I don't think people would be too mad about Frank Wilson, because you know the guy's LSU through and through. I'm glad he got it. This was actually, and speaking of, hopefully this is the last early kickoff we had, but out of 630 plus games in Tiger Stadium, only 17 had been before noon. So glad to be a part of history again. But man, it was rough, because the stands were not full. They ended up getting there, though. I don't think there was less than 70,000 once everybody's kind of in their seats. But I mean, they weren't in a hurry to watch LSU play Arkansas. You know, they're 2-7. We're struggling ourselves. LSU definitely looked flat, you know, to start the game. The only reason Arkansas didn't score a touchdown on their first drive is because we actually got the ball from them, but then we just gave it right back to them, and they scored on a blocked punt. And then before we knew it, we were down 14-0. I was like, oh, great, here we go. But Tigers turned it around. The defense pretty much stopped them after that, except for some late points, you know, towards the end of the game. But I don't know. I guess I'd be curious to hear what you guys think, if because obviously everyone's going to look, oh, well, why didn't we use Van Buren so much sooner? You know, if especially if Nuss had this injury that's been there supposedly since the beginning of camp, I'll say, well, the guy that was making that decision is no longer here. You can ask him if you want. I think it's just going to be a waste of time, though. But this is what we have moving forward. So, yeah, maybe the Tigers can finish with at least one more win. I don't know. I'd still say they have a chance to break even in SEC play. If they were to upset Oklahoma on the road, they'd be 4-4, and that would be overachieving, I would say, at this point. But I don't know. Do you think the Tigers figured it out enough on offense, or the offensive line, we should say, you know, along with the running game, to make that possible?
I don't. I think that, you know, you talk about like moral victories and like a loss. You know, it's like, man, we play real well. This is like the opposite of a moral victory. It's like a devastating win or something. Like, when we won, you know, they're going to mark it down as a W and a W on the schedule, and we improved to 6-4. 10 years from now, all that you'll look up is what was the final record, and you know, hopefully it ends up being, you know, 8-4 with two more wins, or maybe it's 7-5. But you know, when I look at this game, to be honest, I think Van Buren is slightly better. I don't think he's head and shoulders above Nussmeier. I can see where, you know, I think the argument of why we didn't see him more earlier in the season, I can buy that. But I don't think he is, you know, I do not think he is head and shoulders better than Nussmeier has been this year, and that would justify him taking the starting job in week two. I do think that, I think the story of this game is the story of most of the games throughout the season. The defense is solid. I mean, that they gave up 14 early, but after that, it was a pretty, pretty good performance for them. Mansur Delane had a good game. Harold Perkins was like the standout player of the game. This was like, you know, his one game a year that he plays really well.
Always Arkansas.
It's always Arkansas. Reason. Yeah. I saw a funny tweet. Somebody was like, if you're an Arkansas fan who only watches LSU when LSU plays Arkansas, you think Harold Perkins is the best player in the world.
If only.
I mean, it's hard for me to get excited. I'm glad we won. I think that's good. I think that you needed a win. You need to finish, you know, another loss would have us at 6-6, you know, probably 6-6 to finish the year. I think having a winning season is a good kind of a good step, but it's hard for me to get really excited because I don't think much has changed.
Yeah, a few takeaways for me. Offense better, but not awesome with Van Buren at the helm. His passing, like Tommy said, wasn't much better than Nussmeier. He kind of overthrew a few. He had a couple of like dropped interceptions where he should have like turned the ball over and Arkansas couldn't come up with it. But his ability to escape the pocket and at least do a little bit of something with his legs was very kind of refreshing to see. I think his best play of the game was on the last drive when it was like 3rd and 16 and he broke off like a 35-yard run to keep the drive going, which ultimately helped LSU ice the game and run the clock out. So that was like, oh my goodness, we can't do this with Nussmeier. But it wasn't amazing. I liked our run game was improved between the two-headed beast of Caden Durham and Harlan Berry. They played well off each other and kind of kept us controlling the clock and controlling the tempo of games, which was a big struggle for us early in the season. So it's good to see their improvement. And then the defense was kind of their usual self. They only gave up 15 points, considering the first touchdown was off a blocked field goal. So two touchdowns allowed by the defense. They had an awesome like goal line stop, Jacoby and Guillory coming over the top to Wall, yeah, tailing Green, and put us on like the 1-inch line.
But, and that was cool to see for a guy who came back for his senior year. Like,
exactly.
I feel like what's kind of lost in the shuffle of these really downer seasons, especially when you fire a coach, is that like you've got guys who came back and that was their like final shot. I mean, obviously the one that we always look at is Nussmeier and how going, you know, at the end of last season, he was, you know, touted to be, he could have gone to the draft probably. And especially at the beginning of this year, he was touted to be a top player in the game. But Jacobian Guillory is another one who has, you know, stayed and tried to develop. So it was good to see that for him.
Mm-hmm. And then Perkins, mm-hmm. obviously, who you pointed out were the really big game, 2.5 tackles for loss, including one sack, plus an interception. So really nice. And we should have won that game by more points. I know we left 7 points on the off the board at the very end when Harlan Berry slid, which was a smart decision by him. But so we could have had more, but we had 3 turnovers to Arkansas 0. So you would have liked to execute just a little bit better. You definitely saw that slow start. I think our first 2 drives were 3 and outs. And I was wondering, like, are they booing already in the stadium? I was like, new quarterback, same old team with the 3 and outs. So that was frustrating. But glad we got the win. And hopefully we can, I guess, string 2 together here with Western Kentucky on the schedule in the down week.
Yeah. I mean, it was the smarter play to take a slide with Barry there. Like, but man, it's just, we could have just kicked a field goal too. Like, just waited till the last second to kick a field goal just to get that annoying stat out of the announcer's mouths for the rest of the year. But whatever. Happy to see it. I don't know. I thought, yeah, the defense, I mean, especially since, you know, I don't think we can really expect Weeks to be back maybe for Oklahoma. I don't know. I mean, he was still, you know,
that's just weird in street clothes. He hasn't suited up.
I don't think we see him for the rest of the year. I think for Tiger fans, the best hope is that he doesn't feel like he's put enough tape out there for the NFL, and then he comes back for his final year at LSU next year.
And he would have the opportunity to play with, you know, his brothers. Like, imagine, yeah, just, like half your, or excuse me, a third of your defense is just one family.
It's just weird.
Yeah, that could be interesting. But I don't know. I think they have more to prove on offense, but, you know, little baby steps here. But you could definitely see with our play calling, was it Atkins, right? That's who's, mm-hmm. they've tapped to call the plays. I mean, you saw a lot of different stuff. Some trickeration didn't quite work out, but
that wasn't a cool drive when they were running trick play after trick play, like multiple QB passes. Like, it's basically like he uncovered a new page in the playbook. This is the secret playbook that Joe Sloan couldn't find. Yeah. Hey,
these pages were stuck together. Did you guys see this? Yeah. Anyway. Long gone is Joe Sloan and just the wide receiver screens and the runs up the middle. Love to see that. Now, I have a question, though. Wait, Tommy, did you have something?
Oh, I was just going to say they really did open up the playbook, and that was, but you know, it's like at this point, who cares? Like, can't get much worse. So let's just have a little fun with it.
That's what I was thinking heading into next week with Western Kentucky. It's going to be another night game, 6:45, Frank Wilson's first like night game in Tiger Stadium as a head coach. I imagine that, well, hopefully the fans show up and show out and it's a good environment. Tigers get the win. I mean, we'll talk about Kentucky in a second, but I think it's a good opportunity for them to like build some momentum, because I think the Tigers could have the opportunity to do the funniest thing and just beat Oklahoma on the road and just throw a wrench into the system. Cause that's pretty much what Oklahoma did this weekend. They threw a wrench into the system, beating Bama at home, no less. So curious to hear if you know what you guys are thinking about that, but I'd say all in all, a great win. Good all the way around. You know, we didn't have any gaps on special teams, at least none that really cost us dearly.
Well, offense, the blocked punt right off the rip was pretty rough.
Well, that like, was,
how did that happen? But yeah, Damian Ramos had a nice game, 3 long field goals that kind of kept us in the game and steadied the tide in the middle section, at least, and especially at the very end of the first half when we got the ball like 50 seconds left and drove down and kick a field goal that, I mean, we won by 1 point, so could have been the difference. So that was nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say the fact that we just held Arkansas to I don't know, one of their lowest totals for the season. Granted, they have all those losses, but again, they've been dueling with folks all season, even though they're losing. So it was amazing to hold him. Gives me something positive to think that maybe we could do that with Mateer, but different animal. You know, it'll be on the road against Oklahoma. Now, I had a question, though, for you guys, because I know we're going to touch on this eventually. But just looking at this game and what we have been able to do, like what Frank Wilson has, and I don't know, there's also Blake Baker. You also have Corey Raymond. It's like there's some good coaches. Do you feel like with this coaching search that's still going on, I mean, still stuff coming out from the last administration or regime, but do you think whoever comes in, like, is that something that LSU should have? Like, hey, you can bring in whoever you want, but we would really like for these guys to stay.
Well, you know, I think that and you've seen a lot of talk. I think we talked about it last week about Lane Kiffin. I think he's the number one. He's the number one choice for LSU fans right now. He's the hot name. I think it makes sense because other than Blake Baker, you get to keep a lot of personnel. I mean, Frank Wilson, somebody who's been on his staff before. Austin Thomas was hired by him to be general manager at Ole Miss. You know, I think you lose Blake Baker if Kiffin comes, because he's probably going to bring Pete Golding with him, his current defensive coordinator, who is from Louisiana. And then, you know, Kiffin will probably, maybe he brings Tommy Reese as offensive coordinator, or maybe he brings somebody else. But either way, I think that, you know, for people who are concerned about keeping, you know, key staff members, I think that there, when you bring in Kiffin, there's a good chance you do get to keep guys like that. I think that any coach, though, would be a fool to let go of a Frank Wilson, a Corey Raymond, you know, some of the other kind of LSU stalwarts that have been there for a while. I think that was something that was a huge mistake that Kelly made, notably with Tommy Moffitt. That was one of the first fires he made when he got in the building, and you know, look how that ended up for him.
Yeah, I agree. There's not too many people that I would say are like must keeps. You think of Corey Raymond and Frank Wilson, like you pointed out. Tommy Blake Baker is the other one he's had a nice season and couple of seasons as the LSU defensive coordinator, although he is already, like, I think the highest paid assistant coach in college football. And so if he stayed on, he might have to bump up his salary even more. And with the head coaching hire likely looking expensive, maybe they try and cheap out and get somebody else, so that the D coordinator, to pay the top job a little bit more, as well as appease the guy coming in. I'm not sure. It would be nice to keep him around, but I'm not sure that it's like you have to, obviously. And then you plug the holes elsewhere, and hopefully you don't end up with a situation where the offense coordinator or whoever's calling plays is kind of incompetent. That's another reason why they might look for a coach who likes to call his own plays, which is kind of becoming increasingly rare in college football. Not too many guys do that.
Yeah.
But it could kind of cover double your bases if you take that route, and I guess maybe place more of the weight on the head coach's shoulders. But yeah, I mean, Kiffin seems good to me. When they were playing Florida, the Florida fans were wearing t-shirts that said like Kiffin come to Florida. I don't know if y'all saw that on TV, but LSU probably is just as eager, and there's lots of talks and deals going behind the scenes, I'm sure, but no real news as of yet. One thing that I've been thinking about with the coaching search is, like, to me, I think the longer it takes to announce somebody or make a move, it almost seems more increasingly likely that it's somebody kind of off the wall, like unexpected. Like if it was somebody kind of obvious, like it would kind of just get done and done, but delaying, maybe they're exploring more options, kind of going down the list a little bit more. That's kind of me just projecting, but something to think about.
Well, I think there could be some truth to that, but then also I think, you know, they're not going to make an announcement, or like, for instance, a Kiffin or any, and I mean, that's just the placeholder I'm using, but any coach that's in a playoff run, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to make an announcement. It was kind of remarkable. I mean, it was remarkable the way that Brian Kelly did, you know, basically not mid season, but pretty close to the, I mean, you know, it was not in bowl season when they announced when they announced that he was coming to LSU, and he had to tell the team, like, hey, I'm going to coach you through the next like two games plus potential playoff, but after that I'm gone.
It was a strange situation. Yeah. And Kelly, yeah, was kind of out of the blue. So maybe they go a little bit more obvious route in this time. And at least the LSU governor and president and athletic director, those are all set. And so they can do their behind the scenes machinations at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's if it was pulling in somebody, if it was Kiffin, or somebody else, just to give an example, like somebody else in the Southeastern Conference, I think they would know the reputation of Frank Wilson on the recruiting trail, and that to me would be the reason why you would keep him on. Plus, just I mean, he's a good coach, but Frank Wilson's known as a great recruiter, especially
in New Orleans. Yeah, yeah,
right.
I mean, he is the expert. The godfather of New Orleans recruiting. He's the guy who got Tyrann Mathieu. Like, he picked him out of New Orleans. So I think he's somebody that you'd be a fool to let go.
Yeah. You don't think they would promote Wilson, do you?
I mean, I feel like we've been down this road before. This feels a lot like 2016 of, man, team's kind of coming around. This guy loves LSU. This guy's crying on the field. He can't believe he's coaching LSU. Give him a shot. I think that if Frank Wilson is promoted to active full-time head coach, I think the only reason will be because we whiffed on whoever our target is. And, not unlike whiffing on Tom Herman and being left at the altar when he goes to Texas. You know, for everybody who knows the story or doesn't know the story, like, Oliva, Orgeron has a successful, they fire Les Miles. Orgeron has a successful end to 2016. After that, he puts together a binder of his entire plan to revitalize the LSU program and how he as a head coach could do it. Interestingly enough, that plan included bringing Lane Kiffin as offensive coordinator from Alabama to LSU. And supposedly it was a done deal. Like, Kiffin was ready to do it and come to LSU. He presents it to Joe Oliva, and Oliva says, this is great, but we're going to move forward with Tom Herman. And then, Tom Herman says, yeah, I'm coming, and then decides to go to Texas. So that's why we had to go with Orgeron, because we were kind of – the coaching carousel had slowed down, and we were left holding the bag. So I think the only reason – or the only way Frank Wilson gets this job is if the same thing happens again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it did work out well for O last time and the Tigers. They at least got one illustrious season out of it, even though after that it was just straight downhill and a downward spiral. It'll be interesting. I don't know. I imagine LSU fans, everyone else might be shocked too, but that's the way the carousel turns. Now, looking forward, I don't know. We have a night game in Tiger Stadium against Western Kentucky. Could be dangerous because they can score. They are 8-2 on the season, I believe. And they are probably going to play for the Conference USA title unless, they, I guess, crap out at the end here. But I don't know. Do you think this is a good week for LSU? I was saying, this would be a good week for LSU to open up the playbook. But, I mean, we still got to handle business. This isn't a gimme by any means. But I feel like the Tigers aren't a must-win situation. Do you think we walk away with this one?
I think LSU will definitely win. You'd point out that Western Kentucky is not a pushover in terms of smaller schools. We probably scheduled this one thinking that would be the case. it'll be Saturday night in Death Valley. I think the lights will be a little bit too bright for the Hilltoppers. Maybe they stick around for a little bit early and then LSU pulls away. I mean, beating an 8-win team, Western Kentucky's like, oh, this is our best win all year. Considering that before that, our best win is still Clemson, I suppose, who's not even that good. And LSU will score some points, but I think the defense, yeah, will be too strong and kind of similar to the Louisiana Tech game early in the season, just kind of drag them out and win it in the end. So don't expect fireworks, but maybe something like LSU 27, Western Kentucky 10.
So you think we'll score more than 25 points, do you?
I certainly hope so.
Okay.
No guarantees.
Tommy, what's your take?
I think that first of all, LSU is favored by 22.5 points. I think that's too many points.
I wouldn't take that.
I've watched Western Kentucky throughout this season, and I've actually bet them a lot for some reason. Like, they've come up and I've been like, oh, I like this. I think they're a pretty decent team. Do I think they're going to win? No. But do I think they can give us a little bit of trouble? Yes, especially given that it's just kind of LSU's MO to let teams like this hang around. I think that I want to say we don't crack 25 points this time. I think we might, but it's hard for me, but I don't know.
LSU 7-3 victory.
Yeah. I'll go with LSU. You know what? I guess I will say we cracked 25 points. I will go LSU 36, Western Kentucky 17.
Okay. I was thinking something similar. I was going to go 38, but I was like, well, probably not us. I think we could do 31, but I'll still give the Hilltoppers 17. So I'll say 31-17 Tigers. Although I don't know what they're going to make for the Mike the Tigers pregame meal on the floor. You know how they post on social media, they give a pound or a few pounds of just raw ground beef, but they put it in the shape of the mascot.
Yeah.
I know they're not going to do the banner, but anyway.
Yeah, their mascot's just Big Red. It's just a big red blob. He's kind of funny.
They'll just do a big red blob of raw ground beef, I guess. But sounds like we're all taking the Tigers on this one. Hopefully we're not looking too far ahead to this road game at Oklahoma. But I mean, just speaking of, that was one of the upsets, I think, maybe not if you pull back to the 35,000 mile view, but, or 35,000 foot view above, but maybe it isn't that surprising that Oklahoma went in there and beat Alabama. I mean, Alabama kind of gave it to them. They looked sloppy. They had some turnovers, but, Oklahoma was playing good football too. Mateer kind of ran through their defense, with one of those later scores. So there was that. You had South Carolina had A&M on the ropes at half, down 30-3. And they come back and win it. I was just like, oh my gosh. Imagine that. They keep their playoff and SEC title hopes intact. I guess it remains to be seen who A&M would probably play in the SEC title game, assuming they win the next 2 weeks, because they end the season with Texas, their rival. So lots going on. And then
I'm guessing it's going to be Georgia, right?
I mean, now that they've won. Yeah. I mean, they only have the one loss.
Yeah. And they looked good against Texas last night. I mean,
they were able to pull off an onside kick after a score. I mean, that's how loose they're feeling. Exactly.
Kirby takes no prisoners.
No, he doesn't. I mean, there are some interesting matchups coming up this week, though. Who is it? Arkansas is facing, was it Texas? Yeah, Arkansas goes to Texas. Now, Arkansas can score. I don't know. Texas still seems a little, you know, kind of like us offensively, just they're just not quite clicking on all cylinders unless it is like a much lesser an opponent. So I don't know. That one could be interesting. I'll have the SEC, you know, they're like us. They're playing lower competition, but.
Right. This week is a little bit down in terms of big matchups. The College Game Day already announced they're going back to Oregon for the second time this season for Oregon versus USC, which is kind of a questionable decision. I know there's not a lot of big matchups, but maybe they could go to a small school. I think they had like the Harvard versus Yale game or like James Madison or something who's kind of playing pretty well. Those are always kind of fun when they do like those random schools.
I mean, Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh, I think that's a pretty big game.
Yeah. Although Pittsburgh kind of got beat down in their College Game Day game last week against Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's probably the best ranked matchup for the week. That's for sure. You also have Kentucky. I mean, they're going to be playing at Vanderbilt. That could be a good one. The other one, yeah, I'd say Pittman. Georgia Tech just loves to play comeback, and they're pretty good at it too. I would say Tennessee at Florida. I don't know. It just feels like Florida, it's like they've been flirting with knocking people off. Maybe they can do it at home. It's a night game for them. Tennessee's quietly just sitting there, but I mean, if they went out, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like there's still a opportunity for a good game and an upset there.
Yeah. And Missouri goes to Oklahoma for a noon game, Oklahoma, which if they can win out against Missouri and LSU, it's probably in the playoff, but Missouri and LSU obviously trying to spoil that, so it could be one to watch. That's kind of the big theme of these last couple of weeks is like everybody is pretty much on the ropes. Like there's a big log jam of teams that are like 9-1 or I guess 8-2, like outside shots at the playoff, and any one loss could cut you off. So the very last week, next week is going to be pretty awesome. I was saying, got the Iron Bowl between Auburn and Alabama, Alabama fighting for their lives and Jordan Hare to make the playoffs. So this is kind of the appetizer for that, but definitely any one misstep could spell the end for a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And LSU could be there to take advantage. Cause I think we're bowl eligible. I think now we're just playing for a better bowl, which interestingly enough, man, like if Clemson keeps winning and we at least win one more game, I wouldn't put it past them just to rematch us again. But remains to be seen. I don't know anything else that you guys saw for this week, college football or other.
Not too much.
I don't think so. I think, you know, it's kind of take care of business week. Well, it was ugly, but we got the win. And now you move on to Western Kentucky, another one, you know, you just got to take care of business. But overall, I think we just got to hold out hope that we're going to get a star of a coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One more thing we didn't talk about was A&M like choking to South Carolina and then roaring back in the second half to keep their undefeated season alive. That was kind of crazy. And Shane Beamer, like, not fired yet, but man, he's got to be on the ropes if you lose that game, which would have been something big for his time in Columbia.
No doubt. And did you see like at halftime him like hyping up the crowd? Mm-hmm. Kind of embarrassing. Beamer a lot.
Me too, but imagine how good he felt to like do that on the road against the top, well, what are they, two or three? A&M's like the number three team
in the nation, right?
Yeah. Undefeated. I mean, he almost did it at home against Bama too. So I think South Carolina needs to show a little patience here, because all it takes is one good season, kind of like they did back in, I want to say it was like 2007 or 8 or 9 or something, where they had a really good season, looked like they could compete, but, you know, they ended up losing. But I wouldn't get rid of Beamer. I mean, if the guy can get his team motivated enough to do that against these top opponents, I mean, it's South Carolina. It's like, you don't have some storied history that he's not living up to.
Yeah. And they've kind of been like Arkansas, and to your point, like they can get a little feisty and put a challenge in a team and maybe get an upset every once in a while, but they kind of just seem to come up short and can't really put the full package together. Also on that game, did y'all see that like state trooper at the A&M game?
Yeah.
Who, like, chest shoved into the South Carolina players and was kind of freaking out, and then they
put his elbow out.
Absolutely. Yeah, they kind of fired him and put him on leave, but these guys get a little too much power.
And these cops are just on a power trip. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
It made me think of the really buff like state trooper that always would stand behind Les Miles with his like hat brim real low coming out after the game for LSU.
I think I sent it to y'all, or maybe I put it out on Twitter. I don't know. LSU hasn't been the same since he retired. I think he retired in 2020. I think 2019 was his last season, and yeah, it hasn't been the same. You know, he played for LSU and then became a state trooper. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Wow. We need to have him on then. Explain.
Actually, that'd be an awesome. Yeah, I'll take that. I will track that down because that would be an awesome interview.
It would.
A lot of cool stories.
It would. I did have one other thing. It was Bobby Petrino at halftime. It was so delicious to see him so mad and just still complaining about the refs from that touchdown he thought it was pass interference, but it wasn't. We just stopped them. And he was so pissed. He was mentioning it at halftime. I'm like, I love to see this man mad. Good. I'm glad. I don't know if y'all saw that, but that was just delicious. I thought, anything else? Well, I was going to ask you this too, because it kind of came out this week, and now Brian Kelly, you know, we thought maybe he'll take a settlement offer, meaning, you know, he knows he's not going to get his full buyout. The reason why being, well, hey, you know, you kind of did this while you were here, and that's not really what we, you know, it's you know, some for cause instance, basically, meaning they could fire him, and they, you know, it's in their contract that they have reason to fire him because of certain things that he may do. But then it came out that he wasn't really fired. I don't know. It's so weird. Oh, Scott Woodward didn't have the ability to fire him, so he wasn't fired, but I don't know. And then Kelly posted a picture of LSU's win afterwards, like, still with you boys. I don't know. I mean, is Brian Kelly's not still our coach, right?
I just want to make sure. I mean, maybe it's kind of like the blue dress, gold dress thing. It's like, depends on the way you look at it.
True.
I mean, did Brian Kelly get notch another win on his record with this as an a benched head coach, basically? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was definitely a very strange situation. I think that this litigation, if I'm reading the tea leaves, I don't think it goes anywhere. I think it's LSU trying to get leverage, and honestly, Brian Kelly not buckling. We'll see, but definitely a very strange situation and a very strange continuation of a situation that it started wild and has continued to build on that.
Right. I don't know if we'll ever know the details of all the arguments and backroom stuff, but you can't blame him for trying to get his full millions out of the deal, but you can't really blame LSU too much either for trying to squeeze him out and pay as little as possible. So I'm sure they'll meet in the middle somewhere, and everybody will be unhappy in the end.
That's the goal of any mediation, really. It's the both sides walk away feeling like they didn't get everything they wanted, which is what you want, because that's what compromise is. But I don't know. I just feel like it kind of showed more this week that LSU just didn't really handle this the best way, and they kind of shot themselves in the foot, and that's why this is going to drag out. I don't think it will affect their coaching search, though, as a lot of people want to suggest, like, oh, what coach is going to want to come here? I'm like, well, same thing happened with Miles. Same thing happened with Orgeron. Kelly left his job to come here, so I'm not too worried about that.
No, I agree. I think we're going to get it right. I think it's going to work out fine, but it's definitely been an entertaining, wild thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Other than that, I mean, that's all I had. I mean, I know there's still baseball and basketball going on in the background, but we'll get to them soon enough. Don't worry, Mulkey and McMahon fanatics. We will definitely have plenty of time to cover them once the football season's over. Because I mean, if the Tigers are going to a game, I imagine it's probably going to be like a New Year's Eve or something. So we'll have all of December to catch up on baseball or basketball. But anywho, unless y'all had any last minute tidbits, I think that'll pretty much do it for us. Going once, going twice. Okay, well, that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Thanks for tuning in. We'll definitely have the Western Kentucky recap for you, as well as the other college football news and notes and any other more embarrassing information on the LSU coaching firing or coaching search, however you want to look at it. But until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.